The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting camera, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right. It's Tuesday. Welcome to it. I am Nicole Sandler, as Boca just told you, here. And guess what? I'm not going anywhere. Look, it's the holidays, but I am not stupid. Not that we'd be going anywhere anyway, but COVID is raging again. Like everyone else, I'm exhausted. I feel like I need to quote Madeline Kahn here. I'm so tired. But no, I won't. This should have been over by now. Instead, we have crazy people out there. I just watched a video on YouTube, I think. Oh, well, it was originally on TikTok, of some woman, some blonde, very made-up woman, wearing a Let's Go Brandon pink hat. And she actually looked at the camera and she said, "Fuck you, Donald Trump. How could you tell us to get the new jab?" She said jab. She did say the jab. It's killing people. No, it isn't. I'll say that right up front so I don't get delisted anywhere. It is not killing people. Au contraire, mon frère. It's keeping people alive. And, you know, now they're saying if you haven't been boosted yet, get boosted. Now, I got boosted early before they made it available to everyone because I have those, you know, underlying conditions, lung cancer survivor, hello. And so when I got my booster, because I've been, my first two shots were Moderna, I went to get the Moderna vaccine, the booster, but before they cut it in half. So I got the full dose, which in retrospect is a good thing because there was a report I saw last night saying that the booster, the standard booster they're giving now is half of the regular dose. Because I got the full one, I'm as protected as one can be. They said the half dose booster that they've been giving really boosts your immunity some 37%. So, yay for me. But I just read something else. Israel is looking like they're going to say everyone over 16 needs a fourth. Brim, I'll take it. I'll even take the day and a half of feeling really lousy because I have read enough to know. Oh, shoot. I forgot to turn on YouTube. YouTube, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. YouTube. No, I was broadcasting. YouTube, I did it again. I'm so sorry, YouTube. I forgot to turn you on. As opposed to like the Emerson, Lake and Palmer song that went, "Didn't mean to turn you on." I forgot to turn you on. So you're on now. I'm not fighting with the gremlins. I just screwed up. I was doing everything else and actually running a little late getting started. And I just forgot to hit the YouTube start stream. So hi, YouTube. I will give you a quick recap of what I did at the beginning. We did an intro, a standard intro. I said, welcome to it. It's Tuesday. And talked about the crazy, that I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for the holidays. I may play, who knows, over the course of the next couple of weeks, some not regular programming kind of shows. We'll see. Well, we're going to wing it. We'll play it by ear as we go along. But the point I was making is I'm not going on vacation. Even if not for COVID, I wouldn't be going on vacation either, just because we're not. But I right now, the cases are doubling in a day or two. I mean, this is so contagious. It's frightening. YouTube embed on Listen Live page is good. Good. Thank you, Robert Hill in New York. I just checked into the chat room at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live is the 1220 show. Sandy Sandstones in Twitch is asking, is the 1220 show? No, today's 1221. right? We are live. We should be live. Hopefully we're live on the Twitch as well. Oh, I didn't update the titles. See, I'm just off. I'm not off. I'm physically here, but my mind isn't working. When I do this, I use this thing called Restream to send the stream out to Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. And you have to go in and update the titles manually. And I didn't do it today, but just because I'm remiss and I was spacing out. so it's still showing yesterday's. Hold on. Let me see if I can fix this while we go. See, these are the days that, you know, it would help if I had a producer, but I don't for a number of reasons. One, can't afford it. Two, the way my studio is set up, it's a one person setup. So, all right, let's see if this updates it. It did. Cool. All right. So now it'll, anybody who goes there now, will see today's date. So it is the 21st of December, 2021, and we are counting down the last 10 days of the year. You know, usually you enter a new year thinking, okay, it's a new beginning. Things are going to get better in the new year. We're going to leave the shit year behind. But think about it. All right, we're coming off of two really shitty years. We had 2020, which everyone thought it can't ever get any worse than this, until we had 2021. And people were calling it, you know, the 13th, 14th, 15th months of 2020, because it was just a continuation of the bad crap. And here we are now. we're on the verge of 2022, and things look to be just as horrible. Just the thing that's getting to me most today is the realization that we've gone this far. It's almost 2 years since we were first hit with the first wave of the coronavirus, COVID-19. And we went through the whole initial lockdown and contagion and the hospital surges and everything else, just saying, just wait until we get a vaccine. When we get a vaccine, we can get a handle on this. Well, now we have a vaccine. Problem is, too many people are vaccine deniers, which I really don't get. I mean, do you not trust your doctor? Do you not trust the best scientists on the planet? I have a friend who is one of these people, and she's like, I don't trust Big Pharma. Well, you know, I don't trust Big Pharma either, but if it was only Big Pharma trying to push something down our throats, I'd say, take it away, go away. But it isn't. It's every respected scientist in the world. And it's proven to work. The people who are in the hospitals now who are dying are the unvaccinated. I did watch Rachel Maddow last night. Both Bernie Sanders and Pramila Jayapal were on. So got through Rachel. But she showed a chart. And the chart had all these lines where they're, you know, all along the bottom. And one line is like trending almost straight up. Little curve, because it has to. But, you know, like way up. And the other ones are pretty much straight across. The ones straight across are the people who have been vaccinated, who maybe got infected, but the hospitalization rates. The one on the top, the unvaccinated. I don't know what more these people need. You know, this friend of mine who came down with COVID said they took the monoclonal antibodies, the Regeneron. And so we're talking over text because she's still in Los Angeles and I'm now in Florida. It's an old dear friend of mine. And she said, I know how the Regeneron works. I don't know how these vaccines supposedly work. Well, I do. It's messenger RNA and it's been in development for decades. And they finally found how it works. And this has huge applications going forward. But she apparently doesn't want to hear that. And then she responded to another message and said something along the lines of, well, I just read there was a new study and it shows that since I am now, you know, have recovered from COVID, that my antibodies are better than any vaccine.
Bullshit.
That's simply not true. I don't know what, she's got this disdain for mainstream media. Okay, that's fine. But so what, do you turn to Facebook for your news? I just don't get it. So then over the weekend, I guess it was over the weekend, they were here last week. There was a tour, the history tour, something like that they called it. It was the former guy, Donald Trump, and his buddy Bill O'Reilly. You remember Bill O'Reilly, right? The guy who, do I still have it up here? I used to play this all the time. This guy, Bill O'Reilly.
On it.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean? To play us out.
Yeah. To play us out.
Sting is going to do, it's a video, Sting video.
He's going to do it live.
Okay. What is,
for credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean?
Oh, he seems nice to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, go, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it.
Again, 5.
He's a pro.
4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a. I can't do it.
we'll do it live. Damn it. Do it live.
No. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Do it live.
Do it live.
I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Cracks me up every time I hear it.
5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
But he had to do it live. He couldn't. Anyway, that's the guy I'm talking about, Bill O'Reilly and Donald Trump. They did a tour together. So they were here at the, it's now called the Florida Live Arena or something like that. It's right down the street. And apparently it was pretty much empty. And then I found out they charged, the cheap seats were $100 a ticket. The cheap seats to see Donald Trump and Bill O'Reilly sit in chairs. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried, but that's apparently what it was. And during this thing, so they had four dates and the last one was in Dallas just the other night. And Donald Trump started talking about the vaccines. And then here, let me just pull this up. You're going to see my background. That's all right. I don't care. Okay. hold on, caller. Hold up. Caller, I will be with you in just a moment. I just have to play this video, and you're not going to hear it. So just don't go anywhere. Stand by. Hold on. And, and I think that caller's number just showed. All right. So, it didn't. All right. So here's what Donald Trump and Bill O'Reilly said to the crowd there in, wherever they were, in Dallas. Here's what they said.
Look, we did something that was historic.
Yeah.
We saved tens of millions of lives worldwide. We, together, all of us, not me, we.
Yeah.
We got a vaccine done, three vaccines done,
yeah,
and tremendous therapeutics like Regeneron and other things that have saved a lot of lives. We got a vaccine done in less than 9 months, it was supposed to take from 5 to 12 years.
Uh-huh.
Because of that vaccine.
Yeah.
Because of that vaccine.
Because of that vaccine.
Millions and millions of people. I think this would have been the Spanish flu of 1917, where up to 100
okay.
million people died. This was going to ravage the country far beyond what it is right now. Take credit for it. Take credit for it. It's a great, what we've done is historic.
Okay.
Don't let them take it away. Don't take it away from ourselves.
Right,
you're playing
okay.
that. You're playing right into their hands.
You're playing into
when
their
hands. Sort of like,
see?
Oh, the vaccine.
Listen.
If you don't want to take it, you shouldn't be forced to take it. No mandates. Take credit because we saved tens of millions of lives. Take credit. Don't let them take that away from you.
Okay. So the president made news.
Do you agree with that?
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Now. There's Bill O'Reilly. Do it live!
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it, too. Okay, so...
Oh, and they're booing.
No. That's all. There's a very tiny group over there.
Yeah, and apparently Bill O'Reilly had to console Donald that night because people booed him. Oh, my God. All right. Sorry, somebody called in just as I was hitting this clip. So now, to the phones. Hi, caller. Who's this?
This is Linwood. Happy holidays.
Hey, Linwood, how are you doing? Happy holidays to you, too.
I'm doing well. It's interesting you see two sexual abusers take a tour together.
Bill O'Reilly and Donald Trump, they're made for each other, aren't they?
Yes. Good company.
Yeah.
Now, the reason for my call this afternoon is that these people who are not vaccinated, take it from me. I lost a brother.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I buried him December the 5th.
Oh, my God.
Because he didn't get vaccinated. And what the coronavirus did to his body, it tore his body all to hell.
Oh, Linwood, I'm so sorry.
It sent his body into septic shock.
Oh, my God.
And the organs shut down. The blood flow, the oxygen to his brain, it collapsed. So even if my brother would have made it, he would have been a permanent, like Terry Schiavo was.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been in that condition for the remainder of his
days. Oh, my God.
And what it also did, that fluid, that coat, I think they call it a sonokine storm.
Okay.
A sonokine storm fills the lungs up with fluid.
Oh.
And so when the lungs drain, they were managing to save the right lung, but the left lung had holes in it, and they could not repair it.
Oh, my God.
And that's what took it. These people think this stuff is a joke. It's a game. It's not. It is not.
No, it's not. And they keep pushing this video that I won't play for you. I won't. This woman, this blonde, very made up, plastic looking woman, probably from Orange County, California, was like, fuck you, Donald Trump. You're telling people to take this vaccine because you want credit for it. No, he's lying to us about this. Now she realizes he's a liar. But this is the mountain she wants to die on.
Well, this is what the white minoritarians do. They don't do the dirty work themselves. They get other people to do the dirty work for them, like mm-hmm. January 6th, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to storm down to the Capitol, and I'm going to be down there with you. Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit back in the White House to watch you do what I told you to do. You're going to take the fall for it, and I'm going to get up out of here. I'm going to get scared. I'm going to get away clean.
Yeah.
For a crime I told you to commit. And they're getting more and more violent. Just this afternoon, I heard Jesse Waters from Fox News say that Fauci.
Yes, you know what? I think I have that. I do have that clip here. Let me play that. You know what? Let me play it off of here so you can hear it. Because if I tried to play it off of there, you wouldn't. So Jesse Waters, this was at the Turning Point USA. Which is what's his name? Charlie Kirk or something that they had in Phoenix. I think it just wrapped up last night. And so this idiot, Jesse Waters, who used to be, I guess, Bill O'Reilly's producer at Fox, not news, now has a show. I don't ever watch Fox. Anyway, he gets up on stage and listen to the way he frames this. This is the clip. Well, let me just play it, and then we'll talk about it.
Now you're going for the kill shot.
You're going for the kill shot.
What? With an ambush?
What?
Deadly.
He's talking about Dr. Fauci.
This is when you say, Dr. Fauci, you funded risky research at a sloppy Chinese lab.
No, he didn't. This is all bullshit.
That sprung this pandemic on the world. You know why people don't trust you.
Oh, my
don't
God.
You? Boom! He is dead!
Excuse me?
He's done.
And they're clapping.
You do that, 30 seconds. That's all you need. 30 seconds. Now, you get that footage to us. You get it to Fox. You get it to Human Events. You get it to Breitbart. You get it to Daily Caller. You get it to the Turning Point Pipeline. Imagine Tucker Carlson teases out of the A block, coming up. Brave college student confronts Lord Fauci at dinner. Exclusive footage, right back. Get us that. That's what we want. That changes the whole conversation of the country.
Oh my God. So Dr. Fauci actually responded. Let me just share with you a little bit of his response.
I'm wondering, you know, how much that concerns you when you hear language like that about you and your well-being.
Well, John, that's horrible. I mean, that just is such a reflection of the craziness that goes on in society. The only thing that I have ever done throughout these 2 years is to encourage people to practice good public health practices,
right?
To get vaccinated.
This is opposite
to be
world.
Careful in public settings, to wear a mask. And for that, you have some guy out there saying that people should be giving me a kill shot to ambush me. I mean, what kind of craziness is there in society these days? That's awful that he said that. And he's going to go very likely unaccountable. I mean, whatever network he's on is not going to do anything for him.
Fox.
I mean, that's crazy. The guy should be fired on the spot.
He not only should be fired on the spot, he should be visited by the FBI. Linwood, you heard both of those clips?
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard both of them. I mean, I've been on conservative platforms from conservative viewers, and they have been talking the same thing about getting the gun. We're going to arm ourselves. We're going to overthrow the government. I've even heard this language last night from some conservative outlet. And I'm like, well, what do I do about this? Because I don't know who to talk to, because it's going to get more, it's getting more and more violent. This is all the Republicans really have.
Yep.
They're playing on this for votes, but somebody out there is going to act.
Yeah, and you know what? And Kyle Rittenhouse appeared at the same conference, and he got like a rousing standing ovation. And they had a theme song for him, and this is frightening.
They're using him.
Oh, of course they are.
His own mother said that they were using him even for fundraising before he even went on trial.
Yeah, of course they are.
Lynn Wood.
That's what they do.
They were doing that.
Yeah, Lynn Wood and Lynn Wood. Wow, that's weird.
Well, my name is all one.
I know, but it's still weird, Linwood.
Yeah, it is. But just the fact that they are going to this sort of rhetoric, and I ask questions like, okay, guys, what drew you to this? What drew you to wanting to harm people in the government when the government is you? Oh, no, we're not the government.
All right.
We are separate from the government, but you pay taxes to the government. Yeah, we're getting robbed.
Oh, God.
That's not our government.
Oh, my God.
So they really don't believe that they are part of the United States. They believe that it's the United States of America and this the United States of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody they call them. They really are into this, and the Republicans better be careful with this, because we've already had two congresspeople get bullets in them. If Scalise didn't learn anything from the time when he got shot, from the rhetoric that whomever on the far end of the left wing, their rhetoric, if he didn't learn from that, then what's it going to take? Another congressperson being shot or...
No, and obviously Scalise didn't learn anything, because all he talks about is it was a leftist Bernie Sanders supporter. That has nothing to do with anything. This guy was not supported by the Congressional Progressive Caucus. We weren't there cheering him on. We were as appalled by his actions as they were. It's not us against them. We all think what he did was fucked up and he needs to be locked up for the rest of his life. You don't do that. The difference is they applaud it. They cheer it on. They encourage their followers to do it, to ambush Dr. Fauci with the kill shot.
Yeah, and I was saying, when I heard that this morning, I said, I definitely do worry about him, because, I mean, if January 6th can happen, could you imagine what can happen to him?
Without a doubt. These people are unhinged and they're going to get there. Hey, Linwood, I got to move on, because we got a lot of stuff going on today. But thank you for calling. Have a very, very happy holiday season. And we're here, so come back. I'm here every day. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Bye. To address, sorry, I didn't answer you guys in YouTube because I was so busy apologizing for starting you late. We do not have Laffy today. Here's the deal with Laffy. She will be here next Tuesday. Okay. We'll hang on. Is it New Year's Eve Eve? No, it's just, next week is just the 28th of December. Talk about a no man's land, but we'll be here. Laffy had a stomach thing the last couple of days, and she just wasn't feeling well. She would have been here, but she wasn't feeling well. But she did get some news today that made her feel a lot better. In fact, I'm just going to pull up her tweet, because this is something I don't even want to try to paraphrase. What Laffy said was, I should do a drum roll. Do I have a drum roll? I know I've got a rim shot. Do I have a regular Drum roll. Yes, I do. All right. Laffy tweeted, I'm interrupting my regular programming to make this public service announcement to my followers who know and care about this. We just got accepted as permanent residents in Canada. Two plus years later, we did it. OMG. Regular programming will now resume. Thank you. So that's Laffy's news today. She wanted, she's like, I wish I was there. We could, yeah. So this all happened after she said she wasn't feeling well. So she will be here next Tuesday. We will do the final Tuesday of the year together. And yeah, like that. All right. But we do have a guest coming up. Jeff Hauser will join us in a little while. And you may remember who Jeff Hauser is. He's been on this program before. He runs an organization called the Revolving Door Project. And what they do is they scrutinize the appointments made by the executive branch. So everybody who Joe Biden appointed to a position from Merrick Garland on down, they scrutinize those appointments. So what my question is, at the end of the first year of Joe Biden's administration, how's he doing? So we'll check in a little while with Jeff Hauser. I know he's out playing ball with his kid while the sun is still shining. I did have a few other things to share with you. I've got a buildup of non-traditional Christmas songs to share. John Fowler said Laffy's a traitor. Oh, we should talk about that. She's not a traitor. She's not giving up her American citizenship. They've just gotten permanent residency allowance in Canada. So they're going to move up there. Can you blame her? Seriously, if I had a way out, I'd probably take it right now too. But she'll still, you know, she'll just be living over the border. She will still be a U.S. citizen. She will still vote in American elections. She will still, she's not giving up her citizenship. She, you know, she'll still comment on everything just as she does now, except instead of being in Los Angeles County, she'll be somewhere in the vicinity of Vancouver. And I can't blame her, because right now, this nation is not in a good place. Things are not great here right now. You know, I was going to play for you somebody else. Here, I'll just give you a few seconds of this because I can while we wait for Jeff. This is somebody else who was at Turning Point USA, given a plum speaking slot. You'll recognize her by her voice.
Well, then they changed their tune, and now those of us who have had COVID, they're telling us that even though we've had it and we have natural immunity now, that we still have to get a shot. And I will, it'll be over my dead body that I'll have to get a shot.
Okay. Hey, Sarah, we'll take you up on that one. We will, I'll take you up on that one. Over your dead body. Well, don't get a shot, and then let the COVID gods do what they do, I suppose. But I do have a song for the former governor of Alaska, and it's from the Freedom Toast, and it goes like this.
You can't force me to take a medicine I don't want. If you can do that, why can't you sterilize me? What can you do to me? What can you do to me?
In the to tat injection, and you claim they're stupid liberals, though you start to fear infection, and your friends are catching COVID coming back from their church service, and you all are down in Florida, so you're starting to get nervous. Yeah, you backtrack, Jack. Once again, it's spinning round and round you go back, Jack, think once again. First you say there is no virus, then you find your only friend tells the boss who comes to fire us since he's scared how this might end. So you say he'll wear a mask if there is one that you can borrow. He says, sure, he's got a spare one, but you lose your job tomorrow. Yeah, you backtrack, Jack, think once again. Head spinning round and round you go. Back, Jack, think once again.
The point of mandatory vaccination is to identify the sincere Christians in the ranks, the free thinkers, the men with high testosterone levels, and anyone else who does not love Joe Biden, and make them leave immediately.
Oh my God.
We're human. We can't live forever. We are going to catch all kinds of diseases and illnesses and other viruses, and we get hurt sometimes.
That was Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh my God.
Still you feel the best you've been. You refuse that vaccination, though to you it's free of cost. Now you're booked for intubation, cause your cause is almost lost. Yeah, you backtrack, Jeff, think once again. Room spinning round and round you go. Back, Jack, think once again.
It's the Parody Project, I believe, with Freedom Toast parodying Do It Again by Steely Dan. Showing some lovely images right now. Hate to cut it off before it ends. Just doing the disc jockey talk through the fade out. I got my COVID-19 vaccine. We can do this. Yep, lyrics by the Freedom, lyrics and music track by the Freedom Toast. So there you go. That is courtesy of Parody Project, and they do good work. Yeah, I guess we send that one out today to Sarah Palin and her cronies. All right. I promised you our guest would be here, and that he is. So let me get our shot all together. Jeff Hauser has joined us before. He is the director of the Revolving Door Project, which is, oh, hold on. I got the wrong thing up there. Got to get all my little stuff together. And welcome Jeff Hauser back to the show. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Glad to be here.
So what I was explaining, you at the Revolving Door Project, what you do is you kind of scrutinize the appointments made by the executive branch in any administration, right? So before we get into Joe Biden, what was your overall, do you grade? What was your overall takeaway from, say, the previous administration? How did they do with the filling the positions around the government that the executive branch needs to fill?
I mean, I think Donald Trump underscored why progressives should always pay attention to the executive branch, because he showed what happens if you put America's most corrupt, most incompetent, and people who are at times both in charge of everything. And that includes a bungled coronavirus response, bungled hurricane response in Puerto Rico and elsewhere, and obviously an attack on environmental, workplace safety, and all sorts of regulations that keep us safe and well. So Trump showed the importance of the executive branch and what not to do.
Right. And on every front, his appointments, the people that he nominated for top cabinet positions were head scratchers, to be polite. Rick Perry, for instance, named energy secretary, when the one thing that anybody can tell you about Rick Perry and the Department of Energy is that was his oops. When he ran for president in a debate, he was asked, what three government agencies would you abolish? And he said, I don't remember what the first two were, you know, it was education and environment and oops, I can't remember. And then, oh, it was energy. And that, so Trump names him energy secretary. That's, I mean, I talk about opposite world all the time. That's a perfect example, isn't it? All right.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Yep.
They, trolling was a governing ideology for Donald Trump. And so you had Ben Carson, who had no knowledge of housing policy at HUD. You had Rick Perry at Energy. You had Betsy DeVos, who has never had a member of her family go to public school of any kind, in charge of the Department of Education. It was all trolling all of the time. And that's beyond, you know, the nepotism twins in the White House of Jared and Ivanka. So yeah, again, everything you should not do was done by Trump.
Right. So I asked you that to sort of put it in perspective, because that's what we dealt with for the last 4 years. I don't know how you did it in your office without pulling your hair out. I see you still got some up there. So then the Biden administration comes in. The adults are back in the room. Doesn't mean they're necessarily going to do a great job, but they're not even on the same in the same universe, are they?
No, no. I mean, the disappointing Biden nominees are like standard mediocre to bad, but like competent, and they want to get many things right, even if at worst they are undercutting the public interest on some core corrupt issues. And then some of the best are amazing, and some of the best nominees in many decades, going back to the reign of FDR. I mean, it's a mixed bag between disappointing and excellent, but I think overall probably the best team we've had since the, you know, Kennedy LBJ years, which were a very different political milieu.
Wow. That's pretty high praise. Especially for an administration who's under such attack. So that's the other thing I wanted to ask you about. Does Joe Biden deserve the treatment he's getting by the press and frankly, by the American people in terms of polling numbers?
I mean, it's also a mixed bag. It depends in part on like what perspective and what you're looking at. I think there's much that he could be doing better. Obviously, his job is incredibly difficult, both because of events that are ongoing and no one's fault, and because he also is the successor to Trump, which means problems were exacerbated rather than addressed for the previous 4 years. And Congress is complicated. 50 senator base with no Republicans showing any inklings of compromise, that is genuinely difficult. Do I think that Biden has been naive? Yes, I do. I think that he, like Obama before, wanted to have a legislative program that was one item before another. Mm-hmm. Rather than running on multiple fronts at once, let's put everything into one big bill. Now, some of that is, again, the filibuster. And so not totally his fault. That's why all these answers have to be like a little bit in between. Like, you have to recognize that having the filibuster is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And getting Manchin and Sinema to move off the filibuster is genuinely difficult. I do not think there is a particular mean thing that could be said about Joe Biden, by Joe Biden, about Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema that would be the magic word that would get them out of their dug-in position. Again, not to defend them, but to just underscore the difficulty of Biden's job. But that said, should you be holding off on aggressive executive branch action out of a view that you're going to, like, we need to keep controversy down, like on student debt forgiveness. We don't want to do anything there because that might undermine my negotiations on the Hill. And they'll be done by September, or they'll be done by Thanksgiving, yeah, or they'll be done by Christmas. These constant like pushing back deadlines and holding things in a sequence. And unless we get to part A, we're not going to get to part B, C, or D. That's super frustrating. And honestly, I think like there was a bit of unreality in the entire process about what could be produced and agreed to by Joe Manchin. But to give you some small examples of things that to not like be sound like some total Biden apologist, because I definitely am not.
No.
The deputy secretary at the interior is this Alaskan revolving door guy who goes, when he's out of power, goes into a big law firm and works for a swath of fossil fuel companies by the name of Tommy Boudreau. And Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, the senators from Alaska, Republican, wanted him at interior. And Boudreau has undercut Deb Haaland, the interior secretary nominee. Deb Haaland is great.
Yeah.
She's a committed environmentalist. And it was such a win for progressives to get her as Interior Secretary. But right now, a year in, we have the Interior Department sustaining many positions in court that were initially adopted by the Trump administration. There are some definite difficulties in reversing course. We have bad judges in this country because Mitch McConnell was very focused on judges yep. and has done a great job of capturing and packing the courts of this country. So that's a challenge, but there are things that could be done and they're not being done. And the reason Tommy Boudreau is in that office undercutting his boss, Deb Haaland, is because Joe Biden had a bipartisan instinct. That's terrible.
That is terrible.
We're not moving fast enough on COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Zients is a business guy who worked under Obama, who got brought back in. We wanted to make sure he didn't get in charge of the National Economic Council or Office of Management and Budget. We succeeded there. He was instead made COVID-19 czar. And having a business guy in charge of COVID-19 prep, well, what does that mean? It means the efforts to force Moderna, which designed their drug principally off of intellectual property produced and paid for by the federal government. They didn't do this on their own dime. Uh-huh. They're not some entrepreneurial success story. They are, you know, maybe they're competent, but they're essentially a government vendor. And by the virtue of the fact that we have not gotten Moderna 19 vaccine all across the globe, transferred the technology across the globe on how to build the plants and how to make the vaccine, then you're going to have mutations develop.
Which is what's happening right now, which is why we're in the predicament we're in now. It's not, you know, I will blame the anti-vaxxers up and down, you know, the dial, but it is the fact that there are parts of the world, of the planet, that just don't have access to the vaccine yet. I thought we were suspending the intellectual property patents and allowing it to go. That didn't never happen.
So that's one of these things that's a little complicated. So the U.S. did the right thing. There was a lot of pressure, Public Citizen and a variety of ethical physicians groups that work on intellectual property issues that got or go back to the AIDS fight to mm-hmm. expand access to anti-HIV medication across the globe. We did a little bit on it, but we were the tail, not the dog in this scenario. Great pressure was put on Biden, and they said, yep, we will support getting rid of the international trade rule that prevents the distribution of the vaccine. And that's where Angela Merkel, who became far too popular on Twitter in the United States, stepped in. You might recall Pfizer is an important company in this space, and they're a German company. And there are a lot of German biomedical companies. And so she opposed it, and the U.S. cannot on its own change World Trade Organization, the WTO rules. Suspension actually requires unanimity, which is insane. This is why
worse than 60 votes, like, in the Senate, huh?
The Senate looks reasonable by comparison to the WTO. This is why figures like Lori Wallach and, you know, my former boss Rich Trumka at the AFL-CIO, RIP, like, they fought hard against these sort of trade deals because they're insane. And so that was not something that was within the power. It was a lot of pressure put on it. Gina Raimondo, one of the worst picks in the administration, she opposed it, but she got overridden. Jeffrey Zients, we put pressure, and he, like, switched positions. He got to the right position. But that's plan A for sharing the vaccine technology. And that failed. And that's not the U.S.'s fault. Like, maybe they could be fighting harder. I don't know for sure. But, like, plan B is to just forcibly make them do it. Use things like the Defense Production Act, use the contract with Moderna. But the contract with Moderna has not been made public, and we don't know. There are some claims that maybe they can't force them. It's pretty hard for outsiders to know if the materials are not made public, as they obviously should, because this is taxpayer money.
Right.
But there are plans B, C, and D, and I'm not the expert on the details of each and every plan, but not everything is being done, and everything should be done, because not only should anti-COVID vaccines be spread around the world, all vaccine technology.
That's right.
Like, we should not be creating monopolies in the mechanism to keep people safe.
And the fact that these pharmaceutical companies are getting obscenely wealthy off of these drugs is just a travesty. Healthcare should be one of those things that is not a for-profit venture. The money made should go back. Some of these companies have to earn a profit, but there's got to be a reasonable cap. And at some point, enough is enough. Give it back to the people. Don't charge so much. Spread it around the world. Do something good with it, right?
My colleague, Revolving Door Project, is housed at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and Dean Baker. Yep. At CEPR, which is how you say the acronym, has a book called Rigged, and he practices what he preaches. The book is freely available to download on the internet.
It's nice.
And a lot of it is about intellectual property. And the basic idea on intellectual property is that we should have licenses rather than monopolies.
Oh.
So if you design a drug, there should be, you can also have a prize system. There are a couple of different ways you could go about it, but we should, instead of giving people monopolies, which are designed to reduce supply to increase price, this is basic economics, we should do something that gives the purveyor the incentive to not only produce it, but to maximally distribute the end result. And I think that's what we need. It's not to say if you produce it, you shouldn't be entitled to make some degree of profit, but your incentive should be not necessarily to maximize profit, but to maximize distribution and make a reasonable profit. Moderna and Pfizer right now are not making reasonable profits. They're making unreasonably large profits.
It shouldn't be that way. I mean, the goal should be to eradicate COVID and get us back to some semblance of normalcy, which I don't believe we're going to see in my lifetime. I really don't. I think this is unfortunately, it's gotten beyond us. The fact that it's back with this Omicron varietal that these vaccines aren't very effective against with the doses we've been given so far, is just so disconcerting on so many levels. So Zeitz is his name?
Jeffrey Zients.
Zients.
It rhymes ironically with science.
And I remember you warning against him, and you kept him from other positions, but they give him this. And what's really frustrating is when Biden came into office, they were doing everything right around COVID. And it seems that midway through, as it went, they dropped the ball. They've gotten slower. The fact that at this point, I know Biden is now scrambling to get 500 million home COVID tests out to the American public for free, but they weren't supposed to be kicked in until the middle of January. By then, it's too late. And other countries have it. We're lagging behind, which shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, there are two principal ways that you can get more testing kits everywhere. One, and this should have been done since the beginning of the administration, is the Defense Production Act.
Yes.
I think testing kits and honestly, high quality masks for at a minimum kids in public schools,
yep,
potentially available to everyone, that those should have been high priorities.
I still see people wearing cloth masks, and I just read a warning somewhere today. Don't wear a cloth mask. You may as well not wear a mask. You need an N95 or a KN95 or a surgical mask.
Yeah, and we should not be expecting people to find them on their own. The government exists for a reason. So the Defense Production Act is a way to compel the production of products. Again, there is a reasonable profit. This is not expropriation, whatever degree of socialist or communist somebody might be. This is very much not that. This is you're guaranteed an 8% profit on your endeavors. But if this is what's necessary to defend the country, they can make you do it. And they're finally doing that on testing, but there's no reason they couldn't have done that 11 months ago. And then the second thing, an allied group of ours that we work with a lot, the Economic Liberties Project, discovered that there's a guy at the Food and Drug Administration who is in charge of approving testing. And a lot of companies couldn't get their tests approved. And he basically approved tests from two companies with whom he used to work. So he's a revolving door figure who has gone in and out of government. And at the FDA, he is ensuring that Abbott, and I forget the other name of the company, the other company name, but that they are approved and the other companies are not. And in Europe, there are far more companies that are approved to produce tests. And so there are many companies at the European Union, which is not weaker on corporations than in America, has approved a lot more companies to make tests. And it turns out when you have more suppliers, you have more supply and lower costs.
This Go figure. What a concept.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's almost like supply and demand. It's interesting.
And that this shows you that having a businessman in government like Jeffrey Zients, it doesn't necessarily make that the government operate more efficiently or in a better capitalist way. It just makes incumbent business people richer, which is really how, unfortunately, American capitalism, late capitalism works in terms of the rich getting richer. It isn't about real competition, because there would be a way, if we had real competition like they do in Europe, we would have a lot more access to testing.
Interesting. From the country that, you know, prides itself on being a capitalist nation. Well, except when it isn't, I guess. Jeffrey Hauser is with us. He runs the Revolving Door Project at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, CEPR. Maybe he's getting unfairly beaten down. It's my least favorite of Joe Biden's appointments, or the person I think is not doing the job we need him to do. Can you guess who I'm leaning towards?
Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland. You got it. Wasn't that much of a reach. What is the deal with Merrick Garland? Is he just not up to the task?
He is definitely not the man for the moment or the person for the moment. I think a lot of us were hoping for a Doug Jones or a Sherrilyn Ifill.
Sherrilyn Ifill, please. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Merrick Garland cares very much about how the Georgetown cocktail circuit views him. I mean, I think to some extent it can be exaggerated how much everyone in Washington knows each other and parties across party lines. That can definitely be exaggerated, but it's not always exaggerated. And Merrick Garland is a person for whom that stereotype fits well. And he honestly believes that to enforce the law stringently against Republicans would be a partisan act. And I think it's a partisan act to not enforce the law equally because you're worried about appearances.
Yeah.
So that's one big thing. And then he also believes that you should act like the Justice Department has remained continuously committed to the rule of law, even when it was run by Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr. And I think that's an insane worldview. But in case after case, we have like a tracker on our website, the Biden administration is continuing litigation positions that the Trump administration took. So just so that people understand this, whenever the U.S. government is sued, the Justice Department defends the United States. Whenever the U.S. government sues in court, the DOJ is the lawyer. They are always the lawyers. So that doesn't mean they're all lawyers in the government are in DOJ. But the litigation in courts is always run by the Justice Department. And so with some very minor exceptions, but essentially always. And so the housing moratorium, that's the when that was allowed to lapse, that is DOJ. When people are suing either environmentalists or fossil fuel companies sue about the Department of Interior and leasing and can they frack on public lands, that's the DOJ. Everything is the DOJ. Wow. And they like to show that the rule of law is consistent. The DOJ has always been about the law, not political parties. And the way they show that is continuity in position that they inherited.
Oh, my. Even when the position is wrong.
Yes, even when Joe Biden's campaign had said the position was wrong during the campaign.
Wow.
It's outrageous. And part of this is that there are key positions in the Justice Department where Garland has entrusted revolvers from Big Law, who I just don't trust at all. DOJ the civil division of the Justice Department is this catch-all that, like, it represents the U.S. government in all sorts of constitutional challenges, very, very significant cases. And it's run by this guy, Brian Boynton, whose only qualification is that he went to a law firm that tends to give money to Democrats. God. And like he has a key deputy who is also basically just a big lawyer, this guy, Brian Boynton. So between Brian Boynton and Brian Netter, you just have big law people. And then my colleagues wrote about it. One of the key deputies to Brian Netter, one of the co-heads of the federal program of the Civil Division, is this guy, Alex Haas, who was a political appointee of the Trump administration, and it remains a co-director of the Federal Programs Division, which is the single most important component of the Civil Division. And the Civil Division is the most important part of the Justice Department that no one's ever heard of.
So why is he still there? Can't someone say to Merrick Garland, this is not okay?
I mean, what we're trying to get allied groups and progressives on the Hill to take these sort of issues more seriously. This is part of like what, there's no reason why you can't focus on the executive branch and also push for Build Back Better and serious legislation.
Sure.
It should not be a false choice. It should not be a choice between executive action and legislative action. We need so much, and we need all cylinders of government operating fully to address really adequately all the problems that we face. But the reality is this town has for many months been focused solely on Build Back Better. And so getting people to use their shits with the Biden administration to get Senate Democrats to focus on the executive branch has been very difficult because people think like, well, if I do this, then my preference within Build Back Better will not be reflected. They'll say, I get one of the things I ask for. And I don't think that that's right, but regardless, ironically, like Build Back Better isn't happening
right now.
So lots
is gone
unattended to in the executive branch, and progressive allied groups who have finite capacity, like, you can't have your activists work on 16 campaigns at one time. And so I understand why people have been very focused on Build Back Better. What we at Revolving Door Project are hoping to do is build out a set of ideas and campaigns and to-do items that allied groups, if they start focusing more on the executive branch in 2022, given the situation with respect to the legislative agenda, if they turn their attention, we hope to have some ideas for them that groups will pick and choose from amongst them as to the issues that resonate with themselves and their membership. But we're hoping to get groups to focus on things like, should Bill Barr people still be holding big jobs in the Garland Justice Department?
Yeah.
I don't think
that needs much time. I can right now. No. Done. We're done. And move on. You know, and then there's this, and with 40-50 seconds left, what about our right to vote? I mean, if they don't pay attention to and fix what the Republicans are trying to skew so that they can throw out the results of elections that they don't like and replace it with, replace election boards and election supervisors with their own partisan hacks, then all the rest of this is moot because we're not going to have any say in the government going forward anyway.
Yeah. I mean, there, I think the challenges are really deep and I don't have an easy solution. I mean, I think that they need to keep at it legislatively. I think the Justice Department's top people on civil rights are much better than in other aspects of the DOJ. And I think they'll do their best. They need more money to hire more attorneys because the challenges facing the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department are immense.
Yes, they are. Oh, my goodness. Jeff Hauser, we could keep going, but I so appreciate your time and expertise. And I see your son still at the artwork. The wall behind you looks great. Very colorful. Mine, too. We're kindred spirits here. Well, tell him to keep it up. Good work. Jeff, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you, and I wish you the best, and hopefully we'll have a happy new year.
Likewise.
Big hope.
Take care and stay safe.
You too. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Jeff Hauser, everyone, from the Revolving Door Project. I will put links up on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. The show will be posted at NicoleSandler.com/12-21-21. And that's how it works. Tomorrow is the day we're going to do this day before Festivus airing of the grievances. So I'm going to set up a Zoom room I will put out, make public the Zoom address so you can go in. Who knows? It could be a disaster or it could be fun. I'll have other stuff standing by just in case, in case it is a disaster. But we will give that a shot tomorrow. So I expect all of you to participate and to come armed with your best grievances. And come on, after the 2 years we've had and the 5 years we've had, your list of grievances should be pretty big. And that's what Festivus is all about. Well, there's also the feats of strength. And maybe somebody will, in Zoom, show us their feats of strength. It's an experiment. I have no idea how it'll turn out. But, you know, we'll talk about it. Oh, tomorrow I'll have to tell you about the experiment of the phone call to West Virginia. We ran out of time for today. All right, we'll do it tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you then. And now I will leave you with the news. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Winter is here. Tuesday is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, and the official first day of winter. With the change in season comes the rise of the Omicron variant. It's now the dominant coronavirus strain in the U.S., accounting for over 73% of new cases. And this is happening less than 3 weeks after the first case was reported here. Omicron is even more prevalent in certain parts of the country, making up over 95% of the virus in parts of the Northwest and Southeast. President Biden, speaking about the pandemic in an address Tuesday afternoon, announcing new steps the White House is taking to help communities that need assistance, including plans to deploy military service members to hospitals and to distribute 500 million free at-home tests. The fast spread of Omicron has prompted the resumption of mask mandates in some cities and states in the Northeast, where the growth in new cases has been particularly steep. And the first Omicron-linked death in the U.S. was recorded in Texas, in Harris County, on Monday night. The man was unvaccinated and had previously been infected. Moving on to Manchin. The senator from West Virginia, who claims to be a Democrat, hit back against White House staffers who accused him of breaking a promise when he said he couldn't support the Build Back Better plan. Manchin's claiming it was the Biden aides who poisoned negotiations after he suggested another compromise alternative $1.8 trillion package that included universal pre-K for 10 years, expanding Obamacare, and providing hundreds of billions of dollars for climate measures. But his counteroffer left out extending the expanded child tax credit, a key part of Biden's economic stimulus that has dramatically reduced child poverty. But new reports Tuesday morning suggest that the Joes have spoken since Manchin's bombshell on Fox Not News Sunday, and that they will begin new talks on some sort of Build Back Better package when they return in early January. The Environmental Protection Agency on Monday announced that it had finalized a rule cutting limits on tailpipe emissions to reduce climate warming carbon dioxide pollution. The change essentially restores an Obama administration standard, which called for car makers to hit an average of 51 miles per gallon by 2025, but was cut back by the former administration to about 44 miles per gallon. Speaking of the former guy, he was booed after announcing to a mostly unmasked crowd that he had received a booster shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. It was the fourth and final stop of the history tour. It was Trump and former Fox host Bill O'Reilly, this one at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. Trump confirmed his booster status and even told those chiding him, and presumably O'Reilly, who also said he's boosted, to stop being critical of people for getting vaccinated.
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it too. Okay, so...
That's all. There's a very tiny group over there.
New reports suggest O'Reilly had to talk Trump down. He was so upset because of the booze. His feelings were hurt. Aw. Well, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol has requested an interview and a trove of documents from a sitting congressman. Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, who is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Again, this is the panel's first push to meet with a sitting member of Congress. Notably, the committee did not serve a subpoena to Perry, who attempted to pressure the DOJ to overturn the election and met with Trump before the events of January 6th. Trump's been busy filing lawsuits. On Monday, he filed a suit against New York Attorney General Letitia James, asking a federal court to block James' civil fraud investigation into his real estate company. James wants to question Trump about whether his organization inflated the value of its properties to get better loans and undervalued buildings to lower its tax bills. Trump and his company accused James of targeting him for political reasons in violation of his constitutional rights. Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, a vocal supporter of the former guy and operator of the far-right InfoWars website, has filed a lawsuit against the House committee investigating January 6th attack, seeking to block the panel from obtaining his phone records and forcing him to testify next month. Jones said he plans to assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination and that the committee rejected his offer to provide written answers to their questions. He also said he doesn't intend to produce any documents because he feels his, quote, journalistic activity is protected under the First Amendment. Oh, please. The three most high-profile trials going on in America right now are wrapping up, and the defendants are all women. So the jury resumes deliberations Tuesday at Ghislaine Maxwell's federal trial after the prosecution and defense presented their closing arguments that focused on her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Prosecutors argued that Maxwell manipulated and enticed vulnerable girls as a key accomplice in Epstein's schemes to sexually abuse underage girls. Maxwell's defense team used its closing argument to attack the motivations of the women who testified about the abuse and to contend that Maxwell's association with Epstein was not criminal. The 59-year-old Maxwell has pleaded not guilty to six federal counts, including sex trafficking of minors. If convicted on all counts, she faces up to 70 years in prison. The jury also resumes deliberations Tuesday in the manslaughter trial of Kim Potter. She's the former Minneapolis police officer who mistook her firearm for her taser and fatally shot and killed Dante Wright, a 20-year-old black man, during a traffic stop in April. And to complete the high-profile trial trifecta, the jury in the fraud trial of Elizabeth Holmes also began deliberations on Monday. This trial of the entrepreneur accused of lying to investors and patients about her blood testing startup Theranos lasted almost 4 months. The eight men and four women on the jury are now deciding whether prosecutors have proven that Holmes committed 9 counts of wire fraud and 2 counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud while pitching Theranos to investors and patients. Remember Michael Fanone, the D.C. police officer who was dragged into a mob and beaten during the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol? And he later publicly excoriated lawmakers and others who downplayed the attack? Well, he submitted his resignation on Monday. His last day will be December 31st. Fanone is now joining CNN as a paid contributor. And finally, just in time for Christmas, the White House announced the addition of a new resident, a new German Shepherd puppy named Commander. The puppy was a birthday gift from the president's brother and sister-in-law. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.